you know, stop and think about what you've just done. I love the idea.
Hi, this is Jim from Safety Wars. Before we start the program, I want to make sure everyone understands that we often talk about OSHA and EPA citations, along with some other regulatory actions from other agencies, legal cases, and criminal activity. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Proposed fines are exactly that, and they are often litigated, reduced, or vacated. We use available public records, news accounts, and press releases. We cannot warranty or guarantee the details of any of the stories we share, since we are not directly involved with these stories, at least not most of the time. Enjoy the show.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
And from the border of liberty and prosperity, right at the border, not there yet. And the highway to the north. This is Safety Wars. What is the highway to the north? The highway to the north is the New York Thruway. We live in Rockland County. We're right on the border of New Jersey. And what's the state motto of New Jersey? Liberty and prosperity. All right, so we are on the border of liberty and prosperity, the highway to the north. This is Safety Wars for July 10, 2024. How's everybody doing? We had baseball games the last 2 days, so I was involved with family stuff. Still out there releasing videos. I do stuff on Sunday, and I release them on all of our socials. We're down as Safety Wars on your video cast platforms, or Jim Pols, that's me, J-I-M-P-O-E-S-L. How's everybody doing out there? We're on like 40 different podcasts. Podcatcher. Anyway, very exciting time to have a political podcast, a political show. But we really don't do politics. We say in general, but I think at a certain point we may have to. I mean, it's very challenging to keep your mouth shut for someone like me. When it comes to politics, but I risk alienating like most of the people that listen to the show. We'll just say I'm usually right on these things. I'm just about 15 years ahead of time. I hope everybody here out there, and yes, we are there. I hope everything's going well. We had a nice holiday weekend. We went to Camp Crystal Lake, aka Camp Novi Bosco, in northern New Jersey. That is also known as the set for the original Friday the 13th movies back in the 70s. We grew up in that neighborhood in my family. My parents own a house, and now I own a house in that neighborhood. And to get tormented in 1978 and 1980, whenever that movie came out, by your three older brothers, Jason's going to get you. Jason's going to get you. So they had the quartermaster there. That's the person in charge of all the tools. And we had dinner with her one night. I said, how does it feel to be the successor of Jason Voorhees? And do you have a lot of garden tools in there? And she didn't get it because she was 18. And it was like, no, different time, different place with things. But anyway. Speaking about garden tools, I cleaned out my parents' house recently. We sold it, and we ended up having a lot of garden tools, and I was able to find some needy people that had the need for garden tools. So we got rid of all the extra ones that we don't need. I mean, how many shovels do you need? How many landscaping rakes do you really need? I don't know. But obviously, no, we had too many. Now we're going to go, and we have some news here for everybody. Yeah, come on, where are we? Okay, we have some news here, Safety Words News, where we summarize everything, and then we summarize the major stories from RSS feeds, usually OSHA, EPA, some of the other ones. Why do we use those? Because they're not copyrighted with stuff. So we're going to go and hold on here. Where is... Okay, here we go. Safety Words News for July 10th, 2024 with Robert. And we don't have sound here. Hold on.
Okay, here we go. Safety Words News for July 10th, 2024.
Okay, we still don't have it. Bear with me a minute here. On a huge learning curve. Hold on. Very frustrating. Bear with me, everybody. Hate it when it does this. Along with the feedback. Hang on. We got this. Going to here. And we did try this out prior to the program, and it worked. Hang on. Okay, we're going to skip that for now. We're going to go to commercial break, and we'll figure this one out.
Have you listened or watched the Safety War Show? It does stream live on the radio and on the streamers that we have. So if you have not taken a listen to Jim Bozell...
We're going to go to a commercial break, and we'll figure this one out.
Safety Wars, I would strongly encourage you to take a view or take a listen, whichever option is available for you, and take a listen to what the hell he has going on. It's definitely, it will take some deep dives and some information that you might be interested in.
We're going to go to a commercial break, and we'll figure this one out. Thank you.
the professional safety community, communication and planning.
Stream live on.
In the professional safety. Are just a few keys to your program's success. The question many practitioners have is, where do I start? Dr. Jay Allen, the creator of the Safety FM platform and host of the Rated R Safety Show, has built a global foundation to help you along the way. Go to safetyfm.com and listen to some of the industry's best and most involved professionals, including Blaine Hoffman with the Safety Pro, Sam Goodman with the Hop Nerd, Sheldon Primus with the Safety Consultant, Jim Pozell with Safety Wars, Emily Elrod with Unapologetically Bold, and many others. As individuals, we can do great things, but as a team, we become amazing. Dial into safetyfm.com today and surround yourself with a powerful force of knowledge and support.
OSHA recordables, catastrophic losses, environmental disasters. You want answers? So do I. This is Jim Pozell with Safety Wars.
That's my daddy!
This is Safety Wars, broadcasting to our brothers and sisters in the occupied territory of behavior-based safety. Get out your secret decoder ring. Here is your nightly message.
Learning is vital. Learning is vital.
on set every day. The audio here. That there are working guns on set every day, and those are ultimately going to be a priority, because when they are not, that's when we're going to repeat this. I don't know why this went out. Okay. So we're going to start again here. 10 minutes of silence. All right. On October 22nd, all right, so this happened on back in October 22nd, 2021. We're having audio issues here. A bureau within the New Mexico Environmental Department initiated an inspection of Rust production at the Bonanza Creek Ranch in Santa Fe County, New Mexico. Going on, right? So right off the bat, they pissed off, they pissed off the inspector from New Mexico OSHA. That's what it sounds like to me. Paragraph 3 of this report from New Mexico Occupational Safety and Health Bureau. On Friday, October 22nd, 2021, at approximately 12:30, I attempted to inspect the site, Bonanza Creek Ranch. When I arrived at the site, the three security guards present attempted to contact a representative of Rust by phone to confirm I would be allowed on site. The company representative informed me that I would be allowed entry but not be allowed to take pictures or conduct interviews until a warrant was acquired. After being denied the ability to inspect the site by the sheriff's office and the company, I left. On October 24th, following the sheriff's office's releasing the site, Rust gained access, granted access to me and to inspect the site without a warrant. On Monday, blah, 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 I conducted an opening conference and a walk around the work site, including the chapel. That's where the murder, the homicide took place, allegedly. I don't know. In attendance, and they mentioned everything, and this is a low-budget contract film. Not all employees were union members. However, all employees were covered by a collective bargaining agreement with a International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees. Following the walk around on October 25th, 2021, there was a closing conference, and there they scheduled employee interviews. Right, they mentioned this, and we'll go into what some other stuff. So this was a replica Colt 45 caliber revolver, a long Colt. Now, Rust had 13 such revolvers for the production in total from various manufacturers, managed by the props department. The armor for this film and her immediate supervisor and all these other people were there to support her. The Rust props department was small, right? And for administrative purposes, was placed under the art department headed by somebody else, blah, 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 but rarely worked with it. These other people. Doesn't matter. You can read it yourself. I'm deliberately not mentioning people who are not known in the public. I'm not trying to out people here. But this is all part of the public record, so if you want to, you know, go over, you could. So, going on, right, we had Dave Halls, who was convicted of, 6 months of house arrest in relation to this. So, Alec Baldwin, he was only in charge of approving script changes and actor candidates, according to the investigation. Now, they are not allowed. There was a ruling on Monday. The prosecutor is not allowed to say that Alec Baldwin was a producer and what his job was. They said it wasn't germane. I'm going to say it's likely because of paragraph 10 here, right, where he was in charge of script changes and actor candidates, not the other end. Now, I'm surprised that someone did not bring up constructive knowledge, where he's a producer. Should he have known? I don't know. Judge made the decision. I'm not the judge. I'm not an attorney. I don't play one on the radio. I'm just reading this. Hennigan Terrace Reed reported to somebody else for direction on daily task. Hennigan Terrace Reed performed armor duties such as demonstrating a firearm was hot or cold with Dave Halls. Dave Halls was also responsible for identifying and correcting hazards related to firearm safety. Hannah-Gutierrez reads at right. Her job was storage, maintenance, and handling of firearms and ammunition on set for training members of the cast who would be handling firearms. And in accordance with the safety procedures and industry recognized safety practice, the armorer is required to be present whenever firearms are being handled and should have the authority to determine whether an individual requires additional training. Now, going on here, Hannah Contreras Reed was informed by her supervisor, one of the many, that she was allowed 8 pay days at armorer's rate in her contract to perform armorer tasks, and the rest of her time was to be spent as props assistant. Rust ordered ammunition with the intent to receive blank and dummy rounds from a certain company. Property master stated that Russ did not intend to have live rounds on set. Live rounds may be indistinguishable from dummy rounds by either a small hole in the brass cartridge, indicating there is no powder, or by a missing or dimpled primer at the bottom of the cartridge, or by shaking the round and hearing a distinct clatter of a BB. Unless the round is removed from a storage box or firearm and inspected, it can't be verified. So this is the thing, if you are a safety professional, you need to know. On October 14, 2021, her supervisor, this is a week before the accident, emailed Hannah Contreras Reed addressing the armor and key assistant props duties and stating, "It has been brought to my attention that you are focusing far more on the armor and not supporting props as needed." In the same email, Ms. Pickle informed Ms. Contreras Reed, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say her name, that the production and AD team have seen twice that there was a shotgun left unattended. The supervisor went on to say that she needed some type of check-in or out system put in place immediately. Okay, what is that? That check-in, check-out system on the hierarchy of controls. Come on, what is it? It is called a administrative control. Thank you. And we know that administrative controls, rules are administrative controls, they're on the bottom of the hierarchy of control inverted triangle, and therefore they're not very reliable. My experience is that they're not reliable. And Ms. Contreras Reed responded by, so this is what the supervisor had said. No, hey, let's put in something totally, she didn't say this, but it's like saying, hey, let's go and put in something totally unreliable to manage the situation. Does that sound like something you've ever heard on a job? Right? And no, Ms. Gutierrez Reed said, and very serious job, an armor is a serious job, and since we started, I've had a lot of days where my job should only be to focus on guns. Everyone's safety. There are working guns on the set every day, and those are ultimately going to be a priority because when they are not, that's when dangerous mistakes happen. Right? This is ominous. Now, this is where Ms. Contreras Reed made her mistake. And I know, hindsight 2020. It's like this, folks. The threat is worse than the thing. I would like to think that if I was in this situation, I'd say, you know what? Get me your boss on the phone. Let me talk to the head honcho here. And I want to find out if they're okay with this. Because if they're okay with this, I'm out of here. Bye-bye. And what I would have done today was, look, I'm doing this. And if you stop me from doing it, I'm calling OSHA. And let them deal with it. Because had she done that, right, and possibly filed a whistleblower complaint against her employer, she would not be in jail today. This is where the mistake happened. On October 16, 2021, there were 2 firearm misfires on the set. In the first instance, a blank round was being was fired as someone finished loading a 45 caliber revolver that was aimed at the ground. To return the hammer to Khalil's position and make the fire our safe, the operator must hold the hammer and depress the trigger, guiding the hammer to the Khalil's position deliberately. In the case of the misfire, the hammer slipped from the person's thumb and fingers, right? Likely resulting the fire pin on the hammer striking the primer, which has ignited the powder, which I said before, no one might had the audio issue. The second misfire on October 16th, so I had two misfires on the same day, involved somebody else who was a stunt double for Alec Baldwin and a lever-action rifle of unknown make and model. It's not known how the misfire happened, as according to some statements, he was alone in the cabin and others state he was not alone. That sounds like somebody else from the 1990s. Well, you know, yeah, I wasn't alone, but I was, no, but no one's ever really alone, right? If you grew up in the 90s, you know who I'm talking about. Hannah Contreras stated that Blake, that this person's only comment was, it just went off. It's in the record, public record. Hannah Contreras described that it is possible that, right, probable the rifle fired by being placed onto the ground too roughly. Well, possible, but guess what? They didn't do really an investigation here. On October 17th, Hannah Contreras sent a text message to her supervisors saying, hey, we're on day 8 of Armor Day, so if there's gunfire after this, you may want to talk to the producers. The person replied the same day that there would be no more training days. Training days, Miss So basically, the woman was told, Miss Contreras Reed, don't worry about the guns. Don't do your job. Why this woman is not in front of whoever being investigated? Maybe she is, but I have no idea. Now, this is a second point where the mistake was made, my opinion. At this point, she got a choice in writing not to do her job, essentially. She, again, what do you do? Do you say, oh, well, you know, don't worry about it, blah, 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 or do you go on and proceed, or do you go and say, no, we have to handle this either through a whistleblower, complaint, or a call to OSHA, or we're going to try to follow this up the line, see where this goes, because I don't think this person had the authority to make a decision like this. However, what do I know? I'm just a guy on the radio. Again, has this ever happened to you? Now you have twice where they're saying, don't do your job. Essentially, that's what they're telling you. And what we were told as safety professionals coming in, this is what I was told, as long as you have it documented, you're okay. Guess what? That's baloney. If it's in writing, again, I'll use Judge Judy as an example of this. Judge Judy said, you cannot undo something that is in writing verbally. Right? You have to get something in writing. Here we had something in writing. Even we had an email. But on the other hand, this is, no, emails and text messages are all informal communication, more or less. But at this point, she got it in writing twice. Don't do your job. On October 20th, a first assistant camera resigned, citing safety concerns, among other issues, and stated in an email to somebody else in charge, during the filming of gunfights on this job, things are often played fast and loose. So far, there have been two accidental weapons discharges, one accidental special effects explosive that have gone off around crew and between takes. The author of the email said, to be clear, there are no safety meetings these days. There have been no explanations as to what to expect, or as to what to expect for these shots. So, on October 2021, Dave Halls allegedly handed the 45 caliber Colt revolver loaded with what he assumed were dummy rounds, this is from the report, not Jimmy making this up, to Alec Baldwin. Mr. Baldwin aimed the robber toward Helena Hutchins and Joel Souza, and a projectile was fired, striking Miss Hutchins and Mr. Souza. Okay. These were the conclusions from the report. We are on page 6 of 11. As a result of the inspection, OHSB, that's the New Mexico OSHA, determined that rust was responsible for a serious violation of the New Mexico OSHA Act, right? While no specific state or federal OSHA standards exist for firearms used in the film industry, it is clear both the employer and the film industry recognized the hazard associated with the use of firearms on movie sets and the potential for serious injury to employees. So this is all a general duty clause, more or less, right? And it goes on and on and on. Rust failed to follow company safety procedures, which likely would have prevented the accident from occurring. Now, this is according to the report, conclusion, line 20, paragraph 21. Rust management did not ensure their own safety procedures, taken from the film industry's safety bulletins, were followed at the work site. I'm bridging this a little bit. Additionally, on January 7, 2022, Rust attorneys informed the New Mexico OSHA that the safety bulletins used on the set, blah, 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 and we're going to go over them. They failed to implement the standards listed in Bulletin 1 that they mentioned were not enforced by Rust managers. Bulletin 1, page 1, live ammunition is never to be used nor brought onto any studio lot or stage. I believe this is where the argument was with Hannah Gutierrez Reed, was that she allegedly should have known if live ammunition was brought on, and she allegedly, I don't know if it's true or not, this is according to news reports and what was said in court. I can't believe everything you hear in court or on the news. We know that. If you've been a long enough listener, you know that. All right. That she was responsible for ammunition being brought on set, which led to this accident and which led to her being convicted. That's the long and short of it. I don't know if that's true or not. All right. This is what was said in court. Bulletin number 1, page 1. Before any use of firearm in a rehearsal and or on camera sequence or off-camera use, all persons involved must be thoroughly briefed at an on-safety meeting where firearms will be on-site safety meeting where firearms will be used. This meeting shall include an on-site walkthrough and or dry run with the property master or designated persons. And going on and on and on. So, employees stated that while safety meetings took place, they were not conducted each day for firearms were used on site, and often any mention about firearms was brief and not specific. So you're a safety professional. How are your safety meetings in the morning? Are you told to hurry up? We're trying to get to work. Don't have a safety meeting? Bulletin 1, page 1. No one shall be issued a firearm until he or she is trained in safe handling use, and going on and on and on. Failure to implement. The supervisor instructed Hannah Gutierrez Reed that no more training days would take place, like training Alec and such. Rust management did not provide the armor or property master with the authority to determine if additional training was required in violation of Rust safety procedures. Okay. Again, how many of us safety managers are not the designated competent persons and have no authority? Are you getting that in writing, what your authority is? Again, she did not have the authority, apparently, they determined, to do this. However, Hannah Terrace Reed and Dave Halls, who might have had the authority, no, settle out of court, again, she did not have the authority, but she was still held responsible for this. Bulletin 1, page 1. Additionally, this bulletin should be attached to the call sheet, and each day firearms will be used. Again, that wasn't done, allegedly, according to OSHA. Then bulletin number 1, right? Never lay down, page 2, never lay down a firearm or leave it unattended. Well, that was allegedly done. Hannah informed of a failure to implement. After instructing Hannah Kateri to focus more on her ops assistant duties and less on armor responsibilities, the supervisor then informed Hannah Kateri's production and AD team has seen Dreiser's shotgun left unattended after scene. We need all weapons to be in your control anytime they're in use. Hannah Kateri's read explained conducting her armor duties and props assistant duties created a gap where actors or subman put down a firearm and step away, leaving it unattended. Right? Hannah informed this other person it would slow production down terribly if we had to check them back in between scenes. And when I'm forced to do both, that's when mistakes get made, like a shotgun being unattended. The supervisor instructed Hannah Kateri's Reed to develop a check-in, check-out system, but did not follow up to ensure weapons were secured. Again, the least popular, the least effective way of handling anything. One of the least. Now, the other thing is, what, we're going to issue everybody PPE, bulletproof vests? Remember, those only cover a certain part of you. Pardon me. Again, this was another point. She did not have time to do this, right? According to this report. Right? And then, again, in this next section, don't point a loaded gun at anybody. And then another one, firearms to be loaded just before they're used before a scene. Right? And this was a rehearsal, not filming. And Russ, this is paragraph 22, Russ did not provide staff responsible for ensuring firearm safety with sufficient time to inspect ammunition. And a misfire, Russ failed to address hazardous conditions. Russ management, including the supervisors, ignored concerns of firearm misfires on set, according to statements taken by OSHA. I say OSHA, I mean New Mexico OSHA. Dave Halls, the safety coordinator, was present on set when the first accidental discharge occurred. Mr. Halls did not discuss the incident with staff, report the incident to Russ producers. So this is another thing. Did Mr. Baldwin get this all removed because he was not getting information? Again, he was the safety coordinator, did not discuss the incident with staff, report incident to Russ producers, review the incident as safety coordinator, ensure people took appropriate actions with respect to safety protocols, or take any other corrective measures. According to employees interviewed, including Hannah Kateri's crew members verbally expressed their surprise and discomfort with Russ management's lack of action regarding work site safety issues. No investigations for any of these near misses. Right? And going on and on and on. So, the rest is history, so to speak. So, what's the moral of the story? Yeah, Jim, what is the moral of the story? The moral of the story is this. You could get everything in writing. Right, you could get everything in writing. You could get verbal stuff going on. Hey, you know, don't do your job. You get told, hey, sit in. But you still got to do your freaking job. We've all been there, I think. I've been there for 32 years. Out in the field, right? If we've all been here, we've all been doing this stuff. This stuff happens every day. In this case, it was a tragedy that happened. Most of the time, tragedies like this don't happen. So what's my point here? My point is do your job because it might happen. And now this is a complete mess. There are multiple times, multiple opportunities that were missed here. If you're that safety person, especially if you have letters after your last name, make sure you do your freaking job. Make sure that if you're getting pushback, you document it and you provide an analysis for it. Because of this situation, I changed the way things I do business. I always have taken things very seriously, but I take them even more serious, and I share this with the other safety people to take their job serious. So last week we had an issue. We had an issue last week. Or no, 2 weeks ago. What am I saying? Mm-hmm. Where we had a person go berserk on a site. And what I ended up doing was writing in a very detailed email on this. Let me see if I, what can I do here? Because we had to, right? So we had a situation happen where somebody completely freaked out and over the top. All right. And this was it. Hold on. Let me see where it says here. The person's aggressive attitude towards his own people, which I witnessed and reportedly someone else experienced himself, is in itself dangerous. His reaction was to this situation where it was a practice drill, right? Right? Which was a situation where we could learn. Drills are for learning, right? And he went berserk. Now, the question is this. If you are a manager and you are going berserk over bad news, are you going to get delivered bad news? More bad news? No, because the incentive is not going to, you know, hey, they can't handle bad news. We're not going to give them bad news. Why do I mention this? Since we, no. 10 years ago, before I heard of human and organizational performance, I would not have written an email here pointing out poor management decisions from potential, and this guy, I'm not getting any money from him. I'm not getting paid for him, from him. But, screaming and yelling and cursing and everything else, intimidation means that you're not going to get the information that you need. My question is this. This whole Rust thing, was that the corporate culture there? Was that ever investigated? Did they do, like Jay Allen was talking about today, a learning team to find out exactly what happened, what went wrong, how work is performed there, and everything else? The investigators did a pretty good job from what all accounts, but I have some lingering questions here. What were, right? And as a human organizational performance point of view, you try to figure out how people are working. What was the corporate culture? On this situation where we had someone on site, a manager, go completely berserk, right? And therefore no one's giving him information. Safety information, which leads to more safety issues. I mean, it's an issue. There was something that came across LinkedIn today, a quote. I'm going to go to another commercial break, give my voice a break, and we're going to have some new commercials coming up tomorrow, so stay tuned. old, stale, and hackneyed. Is your safety trainer still preaching a warped version of behavior-based safety? How about safety training that actually addresses your hazards in your workplaces and is not standardized baloney from 25 years ago? Contact the Safety Wars team at safetywars.com or call Jim Pozel at 845-269-5772. Remember, if you're receiving this message, you are the solution to unsafe workplaces.
In a world where danger lurks in every corner, one man stands as a beacon of hope. Jim Pozel, a veteran safety expert with over 3 decades of experience, now bringing his knowledge to you with Safety Wars. Engaging, informative, and always relevant, that's Safety Wars. Join a safety revolution with Safety Wars, available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts and videos.
So this is a quote I shared on LinkedIn. I'm in there as Jim Pozel. The one who posted it was a gentleman named Hermann Ebersole. Nice German name there, right? Rather than being, and this he puts in a quote from James Reason's insightful book, Human Error. Rather than being the main instigators of an accident, operators tend to be the inheritors of system defects that are created by poor design, incorrect installation, faulty maintenance, and bad management decisions. Their part is usually that of adding the final garnish to a lethal brew whose ingredients have already been long in the cooking. Right? So, now with this whole rust thing, think about that, or any of your other stuff. Right, with this. There's a lot that goes on prior to an accident, and that's usually what's more interesting out there is, for me at least, that's usually what's more interesting, and what goes on, now what led to that? Right, an accident happened, yes, we know. This happened, yes, we know. That happened, yes, we know. But along the lines of, hold on here. Sorry, folks on Safety FM. Right. What led to that situation? It's just one of those things. What else we got here? You gotta love. So no, I'm distracted by, LinkedIn. So no, I get a lot of comments on here from people. Some good, not some not so good. All right. Let's see what else we got going on here. That's with Rust. I mean, what happened today with Alec Baldwin? They started the trial and. No, they're seem to be focused on what exactly happened there with the actual details of the case as far as how did this gun go off, things of that nature. Alec Baldwin says it just went off, and the prosecutor says, "Well, guns just don't go off." I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know what's going on there. We'll follow the case as needed. Now, some of the other news that's out there, I'm just going to keep going here because we had a dead mic here. All right. Come on, I had everything open here, all the stories lined up. All right. Investigators find contractor repeatedly put employees in unguarded trenches that collapsed, trapped and injured workers in a Massachusetts, Rhode Island. Let's do a share screen on here and get this report up. Investigators find contractor repeatedly put employees in unguarded trenches that collapsed, trapped injured workers in Massachusetts and Rhode Island. You know what? I'm just going to cut it off here, and I will say adieu, and we will talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye. This is much too long of a thing here, right? To go over.